Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, everybody. I've had you on my mind this week, and I wanted to do something a little different in today's broadcast. Normally, if you listen to this program regularly, you know that we bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called ancient future faith. What in the world is it, and how is it that evangelicals are getting back into touch, or maybe for the first time getting into touch with their ancient Christian heritage? It's an important thing. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, because I'm convinced more than ever that we Christians have got to get back into touch with the essential tenets of our faith and get back into touch with, well, what our ancient forebearers, our Christian parents before us, dealt with and how they hammered out essential tenets of the faith and dealt with a society around them that, well, looks an awful lot like the one that we are in today. So rather than bring you a special guest, I'm going to do something that I've never done before on this program, and that is just speak to you, just me, and from the heart. I have several things on my mind, and part of it comes from a little mini-retreat that we did with our church back a few weeks ago. We got together thinking, you know, we really need to concentrate on unity in the body. The world around us is really upside down. And frankly, the world around us needs Christians more than ever before to be salt and light and to be Christ in the world. And so we got together on this little mini retreat, and I shared with them some thoughts about unity, a little bit from God's Word, told them a little story that had happened to me personally that week. And I thought, you know, I need to share that with the radio program because they're going to want to hear this too. And I'm hoping it'll be encouraging. Toward the end of the broadcast, I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing at Epiclesis because, frankly, I'm going to challenge you to think about joining us in it. First of all, some scripture. If you have your Bibles, I hope you'll turn with me to Ephesians. I want to look at a little place in Ephesians 2, and then I want to look at a little place in Ephesians 4. First, we look at Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. And both of these passages, and they're very short, I think speak to the issue of Christian unity and what it is that we're supposed to be in the church as the body of Christ. What is God doing with us? What are we supposed to be doing in this upside-down world? Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 says this. Listen closely. Just drink in these wonderful words from God's Word. Consequently, Paul writes the church at Ephesus, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. And then listen to this bit, verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So many things to think about in that passage, but the two or three that really stick out to me, especially in light of the world around us, is that we have a mission, and our mission is to be built together on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, our Christian heritage, our forebearers, God's Word, Christian history, our rich tradition. We are building on that foundation, and lest we somehow think it's all about us, it's got Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. But it's not just any building. What God is doing with us, especially in days like this, is joining us together to become a holy temple in the Lord. Well, what in the world does God need with a temple in the world? Well, it's his place where he resides. He resides in us. Another metaphor is the body. We'll talk about that in just a second. We are a temple in the Lord, Paul says. And we are being built together to become a dwelling, then he says it, in which God lives by his Spirit. Oh, beloved, the world more than ever needs us to be that dwelling place. We need to be unified as believers, and we need to present like never before a unified presence and an important prophetic voice for times like these. In Ephesians 4, in verses 12 and 13, Paul is talking about how God raises up certain roles in the church, for lack of a better word, apostles and teachers and so on. And he says, this is being done to equip God's people for works of service. Then he goes on, the purpose of it is so that the body of Christ may be built up. There are those words again, built, built up, built on, so that we may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. How many of us? Some of us? No, till all of us reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. My goodness, what an incredible goal, yes, that we would attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Beloved, our world is sick. And we find ourselves in a perfect storm. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. And now more than ever, whether they realize it or not, the world needs us to be that holy temple in the Lord where God lives by his Spirit. The other metaphor is so that the body of Christ may be built up. And while we're doing the building, or better said, while God is doing the building with us, we should be reaching maturity. We should be reaching unity. We should be reaching the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Listen, we don't have any time to mess around anymore. And I guess that's part of the message I wanted to share with you today, just from the heart, just from this pastor's heart. We don't have time to mess around. There was a time when Christians maybe could feel comfortable about where they are in the world and how the world receives them and thinks about them, but I think only the most deluded of us now believe that that is still the case, because we are in a perfect storm. But before I get to that, let me just remind you that you're listening to a radio program called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of this wonderful church in Sacramento called Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church. We are a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving church. And let me tell you, God's doing some amazing things there. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute, because, again, I'm going to challenge you to join us. Just before the break there, I was talking about a perfect storm. And again, I think perhaps only the most wishful thinking among us would say that times are great and the church is in no difficulty whatsoever. It's just not the case. And this perfect storm, I believe, has three parts. But they've sort of all come together, at least in my mind, these days, in a perfect kind of storm. The first one's obvious. It's this whole COVID thing. And it sure has changed the way we think about the world, how we interact with one another, how we do church. I personally believe that this whole business is going to have long-lasting and far-reaching consequences for us. And they are going to shape us if we aren't careful. I hear reports all the time, anecdotally, about churches that are failing or pastors who are concerned that folks just won't come back or that resources are drying up. God's in control, of course, and he's got something in mind with all of this. But these are precarious times, and if we're not careful, the essential tenets of our faith and the nominal bits of Christian behavior that have been part of our tradition for 2,000 years are in danger of being radically changed. That's part of the perfect storm that I'm talking about. The second part, I think, is something that we've done to ourselves. You might not agree with me, but I think so much of the mistrust or the dislike of the society around us, of the church and of Christians, frankly, beloved, I think is well, at least a lot of it is of our own making. For a very long time, we've been, many of us, smug. We've been judgmental in an unkind sort of way. We've had a lot of truth without a lot of grace. Or maybe there's been a whole bunch of grace without much truth. We've not lived lives the kind that Jesus wants us to live in the world around us. And we've been ugly. And we've been unkind. And frankly, I think a lot of the backlash that the church faces now is some of our own doing over a very long time. When we felt secure in our politics or in our societal standing. And some of the things that we're experiencing now is of our own doing. That's the second part of the perfect storm that we're in. The third part of the storm, I think, is from without. And that is also obvious, though it's not COVID. It's an external threat to the children of God, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a society that is very, very obviously post-Christian. Now, that's not to say that there aren't Christians in our society. There are. I'm one, and so are you. But increasingly in our society, there is a growing number of people who will not say or would not say that they identify as Christian. There's a lot of people out there identifying as a lot of other stuff these days, but fewer and fewer of them are saying, yeah, I'm Christian. And what's more, we face a situation where very many of the people around us are at best okay with the church, or perhaps think that it's a quaint, backward sort of tradition, best to be ignored. But at worst, we've got a lot of folks in our society today who hate Jesus Christ, and they hate the church, and they are militantly anti-Christ. I'm afraid that that's only going to get worse in the coming days. Let me tell you a quick story. A few weeks ago, there was a young man who came to my home office. We do a lot of our church business out of my home office, although we do have an official office and a place for gathering in the old Fair Oaks Village. But I do my day-to-day tasks here at home, and the computer wasn't working right. There was something wacky going on, and I needed some help. So I called a technician, and they sent someone over, and he was a great guy. He's about 40. And he came into the house, and I said something about being a pastor, and he said, oh, I could have guessed it. And I guess it's because some of the artwork on the walls or Bibles everywhere or something like that. But as the conversation went on, he revealed more and more about his own background and education and so on. And it turns out he was pretty savvy when it came to church speak, knew some scripture. Now, here's the interesting thing. He probably could have been done in about 15 minutes, maybe 30. But friends, he stayed for 3 hours because he needed to talk. And he needed to talk about his deep hurt from the church. You see, he grew up in a Christian home. Parents were very conservative. And he was involved in church for a long time. He went to a Bible college and then later a Christian university. He had designs on being a youth minister and then at one point was playing in some local worship bands. And he says, Pastor Chris, the church just kind of chewed me up and spit me out. And I wouldn't go to a church now if you paid me. It broke my heart. And I apologized to him. I said, you know, for whatever it's worth, I want you to know I'm so sorry. So many times, churches can be cruel. Churches can do harm. There's no doubt about that. He said, I guess I would still identify myself as a Christian, but I don't think I'll ever go to church again, and certainly not for worship. I'm over all that, he said. He said, maybe I would go to a home church, something like that, but I'm not sure. And I thought about that perfect storm, where COVID and our own shortcomings as believers, and then also the threats from without and a society that increasingly hates us, has sort of all come together to a place where the church is in some trouble. And so my appeal to you today is to say, what are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? It's time, beloved, for the church to concentrate on unity and being the body of Christ, being used by him to build up this temple in which he dwells by his Holy Spirit. I talk a lot on this program called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the host and also the pastor of Epiclesis. I talk a lot on this program about how we must listen to the voices of our ancient Christian past, because so much of what's happened before us is much like what we're going through right now. Let me tell you another story. Long ago, small monastic communities preserved and strengthened Christianity during what became the Dark Ages. And the spread of those communities began in some ways with one man. His name was Benedict. He came from a little town called Nursia, and he was born about the same time that the last emperor of Rome was deposed. Now, his first allegiance was to the kingdom of God, and he turned away from the crumbling Roman Empire and its once great but now decadent city of Rome. He wanted to go to Rome to get a good education, but he says it was so depraved, so decadent, that he was afraid he would lose his Christian faith. And so he retreated for a while to a cave just east of Rome. And it was during that time that he earnestly prayed and he sought God's direction. And after 3 years, he emerged from that cave and from that time of prayer, and he started monastic communities, about 12 of them, I think, around Rome by the time he died. And he wrote what we call the Rule of Benedict, or the Rule of Saint Benedict. It's basically kind of a guide for everyday Christian living and community. But here's the important thing, I think, to remember about Benedict. People of the Western Roman Empire, who could not have imagined that their once great country, as it were, would collapse, found themselves living in times of chaos and despair. And they needed some hope and something to hold on to. And so men and women began to come together and form little Christian communities embedded, as it were, in the culture. And over the next few centuries, they laid the groundwork for the rebirth of Christianity in the West, and they kept the faith alive during very difficult times. Now, I told you I was going to tell you a little bit about what we're doing at Epiclesis, and I'm going to challenge you. But first, let me give you this little caveat. I want you to know that I'm not trying to get you to leave your church and come to Epiclesis. If you are in a vibrant, growing body of Christ that's a place where iron sharpens iron and you are in meaningful community and you're worshiping and it's Jesus-centered and Bible-believing and Christ-honoring, and if you're in there and working hard and growing, then you need to be right there. And you need to love and support your pastor. And you need to make sure that that church continues to thrive in an upside-down world. But beloved, if you're not, then I want to even double-dog dare you to think about joining us at Epiclesis as we begin to prepare for what I think will be a kind of coming new Dark Ages. I can imagine that things are going to be more and more difficult in our society. And Benedict was wise in withdrawing for a time and praying to God about how to embed Christian communities in the society and work, as it were, from the grassroots up to keep Christianity not only alive, but to help it thrive in difficult times. Well, we're going to do a similar thing at Epiclesis, and it's not just about our own personal survival. If we're going to be for the world as Christ meant for us to be, we're going to have to spend more time away from the world in deep prayer and substantial spiritual training, because we can't give to the world what we don't have. We need to be like tiny seeds in the ground that Jesus talked about, and little bits of yeast in the dough in our culture. But we can't do this, listen to me, we can't do this on our own. We have to live in meaningful Christian community centered on the worship of God and telling His story. And so right now, and this is the part I really want you to lean in and listen to, we are at work on organizing cloisters. And we've already had a bunch of folks ask to host one in their home. And let me tell you just a little bit about cloisters and what we want to see happen. A cloister is a courtyard in a convent or monastery or a college or a cathedral. You've probably seen one if you've traveled to some of these places in Europe. It's kind of a courtyard with a walkway around each side. And if you've ever visited one, you know how beautiful and even sacred the space is. It's the heart of the community where people come together to talk and pray and learn and share. Well, that's what came to mind when we sensed that God is encouraging us at Epiclesis to build up small groups, especially during these odd, challenging times. For us, these small groups, but they aren't really your typical small groups. These cloisters are also sacred spaces, retreats, places to come for spiritual nourishment and a time to be replenished. Our cloisters will be about people gathering to talk and learn and share and spend time with true friends. This is what we're doing at Epiclesis. I want you to think about it. These cloisters will be an expression of our Epiclesis community. They won't take the place of gathered worship, but we want our cloisters to be centered on the communal worship of God and be a natural, nurturing outgrowth of our gathered worshiping body. And we imagine that these cloisters will be kind of like little mini flocks of the larger body at Epiclesis, where members will minister to and encourage and pray for and support and love one another, sharpen one another as iron does to iron, and be appropriately accountable to one another. We can imagine that these cloister meetings will include a simple meal, Lord's table, some prayers and blessings, maybe sharing some reading that they're doing. And we want folks to really dig deep and reconnect with our essential tenets of the faith. It's very important, I think, especially these days, for us to get serious about what it means to be the body of Christ. Again, if you're in a vibrant worshiping community where you are being challenged to dig deep, learn more, and to be salt and light in a world that is increasingly tasteless and, well, dark, then you stay right there and work hard. But if some of this talk encourages you or intrigues you or challenges you, and you like the idea of being in a worshiping body where we center on the Lord Jesus Christ and then have these cloisters as places to come where iron sharpens iron and we dig deeper into the Christ life, especially in times like these, then I want to encourage you to learn more about Epiclesis. Time's too short. Too much is at stake. It's time, Christian friend, for us to dig deep and get serious, really serious, in helping Christianity to thrive and be an important formational force in what might be called the coming New Dark Ages. Does this sound interesting? Are you intrigued? Find more information about cloisters at Epiclesis at our website, which is epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. Until we meet again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, keep this in mind, would you? Surely the road to our Christian future does run through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the Evangelical Church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, Pastor Chris, with one more word before you go. These days, we are, in fact, meeting in person It's at our normal site, except at a slightly different location on the church campus. And as always, we are still using our Zoom and Facebook Live feeds for those folks who can't get to church. Find all the information on the Epiclesis website. That's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. The Lord be with you, and see you Sunday.